You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the fan-sided Timberwolves site. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy game two of the NBA Finals this evening. Of course, the Lakers lead 1-0, and the Miami Heat are quite possibly down both Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic. They're two of their best three players who are both listed as doubtful tonight for injuries. So we'll see if they're able to play and if the Heat are able to even the series. Perhaps we'll need a Superman type performance from Jimmy Butler, who also hurt his ankle during game one. So that's this evening. Today, what I want to talk about is a couple of quick notes off the top related to another potential coaching position that David Vanterpool, the Timberwolves associate head coach, is likely interviewing for. And also, Canis Hoopus, our friends at SB Nation blog, have an article out about the best second round picks in Timberwolves history. So I thought that would be fun to kind of talk through. And, you know, who knows what they might be able to come up with this year, having the number 33 pick. And then I want to get into the next couple guys on my big board, 15 and 16, as we inch closer to the number 17 selection that the Wolves have. We'll do a quick recap of where we're at. And then talk about 15 and 16. Before we do that, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so David Vanterpool, we already knew that he had interviewed for the Indiana Pacers job. The Pacers, of course, haven't made a decision yet. There's a lot of steam around Mike D'Antoni possibly going there now that I guess the other big NBA news that I didn't mention off the top is that Doc Rivers on Thursday agreed to be the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. So now that job's taken, perhaps D'Antoni is the favorite in Indiana, but we don't know that for sure. Vanterpool was also rumored to be a candidate for the Bulls job that ultimately went to former Thunder coach Billy Donovan. And I'm not sure if he ever actually interviewed for it, but he was rumored to be of interest to Chicago's front office. And we knew that Houston was going to have an opening pretty early on, as it was clear that they weren't going to bring back Mike D'Antoni, whose contract expired. And I mentioned on the show several weeks ago, I think back when the Rockets were still playing in the playoffs, that Vanterpool would be a candidate there because of his track record with some analytically savvy teams, Portland and now Minnesota. Obviously, the Gerson Rosas connection running the Wolves front office after spending basically two decades in Houston under Daryl Morey. So he's a logical candidate for the Rockets. Now, the Rockets typically go with the big name, whether it be Kevin McHale or obviously most recently Mike D'Antoni, or, you know, they had JB Bickerstaff as an interim coach in between. You know, even going back before McHale, when Morey was there, they hired Rick Adelman after he had a year away from the game prior to Adelman going to Minnesota. Jeff Van Gundy's been there. So they typically go for a bigger name. It'd be a little bit of a surprise to me if they actually hired Vanterpool, but he absolutely deserves the attention, I should say, or deserves the interview and should be considered. I mean, he's been interviewing for head coaching jobs for 5 years now and finally got a promotion from Portland to Minnesota when he became the associate head coach with the Wolves and was reportedly the runner-up to Ryan Saunders. So kudos to Vanterpool for getting a well-deserved interview. And, you know, I really don't want to lose him. I think most Timberwolves fans don't. He's well known for his defensive acumen. He's the Wolves' defensive coordinator. He's a great communicator with the players. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and some of those guys in Portland, I mean, they're on the record multiple times as having said that they owe a lot of their success over the past few years to Vanterpool, and that he was a big part of getting them to play competitive defense with an undersized backcourt and kind of unique personnel in Portland. So Vanterpool is qualified for head coaching job. He absolutely is. The only reason I say I kind of doubt he gets is I feel like Houston is going to want to make a splashier hire, but not a surprise to me that Vanterpool is being considered. So that's the first piece of Wolves news. The other, I guess, isn't as much news as it is kind of a glance at this Canis Hoopus article about the best second round pick in Minnesota Timberwolves history. This is written by Derek James, who does a great job there, and he's been elsewhere in the Wolves blogosphere as well. And he just lists who he sees as the best Timberwolves second round picks ever. Of course, their most recent one is Jalen Noel, who received a partially guaranteed deal last year, and it took a little while to sign it because he was looking for something along those lines, for more of a guarantee. And the Wolves gave it to him. Of course, they did the same for Naz Reid as an undrafted free agent as well. And so that's part of the reason Noel held out. And there's still some upside there. Remember, he was the Pac-12 player of the year before he was a second-round pick, was a 20-point-a-game scorer, a good shooter at Washington. And, you know, there's still certainly some upside to Noel. We don't know where that's going to end up. But at this moment in Wolves history, I mean, Nikola Pekovic is the obvious answer. He was the 31st overall pick, the first pick of the second round of the McHale administration, I guess, the McHale regime towards the end there. Shortly before David Kahn took over. And then, of course, he came to his own under the David Kahn regime, under Rick Adelman as head coach, and ultimately injuries ended his career. But he was a borderline all-star for about a year and a half there in like the 12 to 13 into the 14 season. And he clearly is the Wolves' best second overall pick in history. Doug West was the 38th overall pick in the inaugural season and was one of the best volume scorers in the early part of the Wolves' history. Looking back on things, he wasn't exactly efficient. Talked about him on a couple previous shows when we ran through the best Timberwolves of all time. I think basically just because he was one of the original Wolves and he was a volume scorer, he's got a pretty good reputation in Wolves lore, but he wasn't quite as impactful of an on-court player. Howard Eisley was a second-round pick mentioned by Derek James in this article. Of course, he's most known for his time in Utah, but he was the Wolves' 30th pick, which was actually the third pick of the second round back in 1994. And the Wolves actually waived him in 1995. So he made most of his success in the NBA was not with the Timberwolves. It was after the Wolves actually cut him. And then Craig Smith, the Rhino, 2006, 36 overall, picked in the second round. And he was really, really good. Went on to have a successful year with the Clippers after he was with the Wolves. And so he would also be a more, I guess, not that recent anymore. It was 15 years ago, but a good example of a solid second rounder. Now, of course, there's been plenty of examples recently of fantastic second round picks. The most obvious ones are Nikola Jokic, Marc Gasol, those types of players picked in the second round. Manu Ginobili, going back a little bit further. And that's certainly not always going to happen. There's not one of those guys. There's not a borderline star, superstar, even transcendent player picked in the second round every year. But there's plenty of rotational players. And the Wolves' success rate, their hit rate on second round picks throughout their history is really bad. I mean, they're not even really finding rotation guys. Of the guys we just listed, you know, Pekovic is the only starting caliber player. Doug West and Craig Smith are rotation worthy type guys. Howard Eisley became that later. But considering we're talking about 30 years of Timberwolves basketball and there's been four second round picks that you could list as solid second round picks, it says a lot about the lack of success in drafting in the second round. And it's certainly an art form, and there's certainly a lot of luck involved as well. The Wolves haven't been able to do either. They haven't been savvy and they haven't been lucky when it comes to second round picks outside of Pekovic. And obviously that was a slam dunk. And it's one of the reasons why those early second round picks are extremely valuable, because he did go play overseas for a bit before coming to Minnesota. So at any rate, looking at the second round is fascinating. And with the 33rd pick this year, the Wolves are going to have a good selection. They don't have their second round pick next year. It was traded along with the first round pick in the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins deal. So hopefully the Wolves can acquire a second round pick next year as well, because they are valuable capital to have, especially for a team that's still in the midst of a rebuild. All right, next I want to get into number 15 and number 16 on my big board 2.0. But first, something very excited to tell you about, and that's Built Go, of course, from the same folks that brought us the world's fastest growing protein bar, our awesome friends at Built Bar. Built Go is the solution to breaking through your wall. For me personally, this is a daily show, 5 podcasts a week, getting ready for this show, the day job, dunking with Wolves, all that stuff to power through a day packed with podcasts, work, and writing. Built Go is the solution. Whether it's a mental or physical wall for you, you can break through it with Go every single day. It's a 1.5 ounce package that you can put in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, or simply in your pocket to get you through the day. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's a 5-hour energy boost without the same crash feeling that you'll find elsewhere. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and still better results. There are 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It combines the energy gel with collagen protein. It's fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast, and it's easy on the stomach, loaded with good stuff to ignite me in my work. And also, it kicks in to keep me going strong with vitamins B6 and B12. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better on top of giving you that necessary energy boost. Visit BuiltGo.com. That's BuiltGo.com. Use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 30% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. And hey, let's talk about DoorDash as well. You want Chinese food, they want pizza, and someone is craving Froyo. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities that they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off plus zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, let's jump back into the Big Board 2.0 real quickly. Let's talk through the first 14. I'll just list off where we're at in the Big Board. And I will note, so you'll notice James Wiseman is not listed. I initially had taken him out of Big Board 1.0 because I think there's really zero fit with the Timberwolves. He's really the only guy really in the top like 20 of this draft that I think doesn't fit the Wolves roster. You can make an argument for some of the other guys that are bigs like Onyeka Okongwu that he could become a Bam Adebayo type guy. James Wiseman profiles as a much more raw and less efficient Karl-Anthony Towns likely early in his career. So I left him off the Big Board. I probably should have put him back on for 2.0. I'll add him to 3.0 because at some point, say the Wolves trade back and he's there at like 8 or 9 or 10, like obviously you got to take him given the upside potential. But just a warning that he's not included on this Big Board, and I'll plug him in for 3.0 somewhere depending on where that, you know, where that value becomes too much to pass on. But anyways, 2.0, where we're at, LaMelo Ball I have at number 1, Anthony Edwards 2, Killian Hayes 3, Obi Toppin 4, Devin Vassell from Florida State 5, Tyrese Haliburton from Iowa State is 6. Number 7 is Patrick Williams, who is the big riser this time around. Isaac Okoro is number 8. Number 9 is Sadiq Bey. 10, Onyeka Okongwu. 11, Aaron Nesmith. 12 is Kyra Lewis Jr. 13, Dini Avdija. And then 14, we talked about 13 and 14 yesterday. 14 is Alexei Pokusevski, who is another big riser for me, moving up 4 spots from Big Board 1.0. And yesterday we talked about a couple of guys who have some pretty serious upside in Avdija and Pokusevski. And Avdija is a little more well-rounded and does a number of things well, but there's still some upside there because of his playmaking ability. And everybody kind of seems to think that his shot will click a little bit better moving forward, given some of the other stuff he's good at. And Pokusevski's got massive upside. Strangely, now we're looking at 15 and 16 today. And both of these guys are more in the camp of a well-rounded type player without one or two outstanding skills. And these guys probably profile more as rotational guys, maybe starter upside, likely more of a bench rotational player and spot starter guy for their career, and probably not as much of a star upside, where I would argue that both Avdija and Pokusevski have star upside, especially Pokusevski. And you can argue about different methods in the mid-teens. If you're drafting in the mid-teens, the case I made on Thursday was, why not take a swing and hope you hit on a Giannis-type player, or some of these other guys who have been, you know, basically one guy a year has been at least a starting caliber player drafted in this range in the draft, and usually the guys around him aren't. And so you can take a stab or take a swing, or you can take a guy that's a little bit of a safer pick. These next two would be more along the lines of a safe pick. So number 15 is RJ Hampton. He is an athletic wing. He is solid at a lot of things. Doesn't have any clear plus skills. So again, just kind of well-rounded. I think a good comparison for Timberwolves fans, I guess, would be like a more well-rounded offensively Josh Okogie type player. And I don't know that he's going to step in and be quite as effective as a defender from day one in the NBA, but he's athletic. He's got good size. He's 6'5 with a 6'7 wingspan, and he's built decently well, and he's put on a little bit more strength, but he hustles and he's athletic, just like Josh Okogie. He's got a similar build to Josh Okogie. And for those reasons, he falls, you know, he's at number 15 on my board. He doesn't have a great shot, but I think there's a little more hope for his jumper than there really still is for Josh Okogie. He's a 68% free throw shooter, effective field goal percentage of about 46% in college. And there is reason to think that his jumper could improve. His form is pretty good. He's not necessarily consistent, but for the most part, his shooting form looks solid. He's not a great playmaker, you know, similar to Josh Okogie. Okogie sometimes puts the ball on the floor and tries to do too much, but also similar to Okogie, he's a really good cutter. He knows where to cut, where to be on the floor, and plays super hard. And there's a lot to be said for that. You can plug him in the back end of your rotation. Even, you know, he probably profiles as like an eighth or ninth guy on a playoff team who can give you 10 minutes of hard play for a really good team, you know, score in transition, cut to the basket, maybe knock down an open jumper to play strong defense. There's a lot of Josh Okogie similarities to me with RJ Hampton. And maybe there's an upside of like a Will Barton type player. I think that's the comparison I made last time I talked about Hampton in Big Board 1.0, is maybe his upside's a Will Barton kind of microwave borderline starter. If he develops a jumper, you know, he could be that guy who scores a bunch in transition and can knock down jumpers, and that perhaps that's his future. But I do think that he will be a rotation player at the NBA level. I just don't know what that upside looks like. I think he'd really need to develop both his playmaking ability and or, you know, dribbling, scoring off the bounce and a jumper to become like a Will Barton type player. And that's his best case. I don't think it's likely that that happens, but I think it's very likely. Worst case scenario is he's a Josh Okogie type rotational player, strong on defense, strong hustle, and a good cutter, which is a valuable player. And he could be, you know, Okogie's kind of a borderline, you know, on a playoff team, Okogie would borderline get a few minutes a game. For the Wolves, he's a starter because of the lack of depth and the state of the roster. I think Hampton could be a little better than that long term. And so I like him at this part of the draft. If he fell to 17, and if the Wolves, I've said all along, I think the Wolves are going to try and move the 17 and try and get a pick for next year. But if they don't move it and he's there at 17, I think he fits this team well. And then, you know, potentially Okogie gets moved in another deal or, you know, something. You don't need too many Josh Okogies on a team. You need one, maybe two. And you can't have too many perimeter guys, wing guys who can't shoot threes. So unless that shot develops, then I would definitely see them potentially, moving on from Okogie or potentially trading Hampton after drafting him. All right, next up, let's talk about number 16 on the board. All right, number 16 on Big Board 2.0 for me is Tyrese Maxey, the guard from Kentucky. He's a player who I think a lot of places, a lot of mock drafts and big boards around the internet have him a little bit higher than I do. I have some serious concerns about his shot-making ability, but at any rate, he's 16 on my big board. He is 6'3", 6'6", wingspan. He's more parts point guard than he is off guard. And he can score a little bit in the paint and has pretty good touch. He's an 83% free throw shooter. So those indicators are good. But overall, his jumpers from the field, he shot only 32% on jumpers from the field. He can play in the pick and roll, which is important. And he's a really good defender as well, which is also important. His size is a little bit of a concern. You know, 6'3 with a 6'6 wingspan isn't bad for a point guard. But because he doesn't have outstanding athleticism and because he didn't shoot the ball well, jumpers from the field very well, I have some concerns about what he could turn into in the NBA. And he wasn't exactly dynamic in the pick and roll game either at Kentucky. There's some, you know, thought more recently he's rising up people's boards because of his touch in the paint, his scoring acumen. Maybe some of these Kentucky guards, Tyler Hero, for instance, has overachieved based on what people expected as a rookie in the NBA. So I don't necessarily buy that just because they went to the same school, he's going to also overachieve as an NBA player. But I think similar to RJ Hampton, they're not similar players, of course, but in terms of his profile, he's good at several things. He's not really great at anything, except for maybe finishing in the paint. You know, he's got decent, not great size. He can play make a little bit, but he's not outstanding. He can score a little bit, but his jump shot's not consistent. And that's where we're at in the draft. This is mid to late teens. You know, I have him 16 on my board. So you're not going to find a perfect prospect. You're going to take a home run swing on a guy like Pukasevsky, who we talked about on yesterday's show. Are you going to draft a guy who profiles as perhaps a very good backup point guard? He could turn into a six-man type player. He could turn into a guy who, you know, is surprisingly efficient and dynamic off the bench. I don't see it, and I don't see it initially, but you might take that swing and think worst case scenarios, he's a good backup point guard. He's not the type of backup guard that I would take and then try and move on from Jordan McLaughlin. I think another guy we talked about here recently that I would consider doing that for was Kyra Lewis. I like Kyra Lewis Jr. more as a prospect, and he's the type of guy who I think could step in and be a Jordan McLaughlin immediately. Whereas I think Maxey would be a little bit more ball dominant. And whereas McLaughlin or Kyra Lewis could be your fourth or fifth option and score when he needs to, knock down an open shot, score in the paint, score in transition, have a quick first step. I think Maxey's somebody who it feels like he's going to try and score the ball more often and be more of a shoot first guy, yet without some of those same athleticism, without the same shooting ability as a Kyra Lewis or Jordan McLaughlin, for instance, even. So that's my concern with him. I think he still has a pretty decent, upside in terms of being at least a backup point guard at the NBA level. I just don't love him as a fit for the Timberwolves in this draft or taking him at that point in the draft. But he is 16 on my big board. I tend to think that's probably about where he'll go in the draft. But again, all it takes is one team that feels like they can develop his shot and turn him into an NBA caliber point guard sooner rather than later. And these teams, for the most part, drafting in the middle of the draft are borderline playoff teams anyways that are maybe looking for that boost off the bench, that extra piece in the rotation. And there's some belief that Maxey could do that. But for me, he falls a little bit on my board. I previously had him at, where did I have him? I previously had him at 12, and now I have him at 16 on Big Board 2.0. All right, that's all we have for you today. Of course, we'll be back on Monday. We're here daily, Monday through Friday. Continue the big board next week. Talk about any news for the weekend. The last couple weekends have been busy in Timberwolves land, so we'll see if there's any news that comes up over this weekend related to the Wolves, and we'll talk about it on Monday's show. Enjoy game two of the NBA Finals tonight, game three this weekend, and we'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And if you're so inclined, please help us out with a positive review on Apple. That definitely helps us out. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.